This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. With a record multi-billion dollar state budget surplus and a healthier than ever rainy day fund, the biggest question before policymakers currently is whether and how to spend those funds. Is it time for a one-time tax cut or a complete overhaul of Wisconsin's tax system? Here to talk about those questions and more is Department of Revenue Secretary Peter Barca. Thank you for joining us.
Lisa, terrific to be with you. Thank you so much.
So that budget surplus. You know, we've been interviewing candidates that are up for election
right.
in November. That's one of the biggest questions. $5 billion, it really is historic. How did we get here? Why is the fund so large?
Well, I appreciate asking that question because many times candidates understand what they want to do with the money, but they don't know how you get the money. The way you get the money is through sound fiscal management, which the governor did, through the Badger Bounce Back, where he took, we were number one in the nation in terms of taking federal dollars and helping small businesses, Wisconsin Farm Support, restaurants, hotel and lodging, and even individuals with rent support. So it was really making sure that, you know, taking the governor's stewardship of saying we want people to come out on the other end of the pandemic, and we did. I mean, it's paid dividends, and that's been a large part of why we're doing so well is because it was really carefully managed, and we did look at it from a strategic standpoint of who needs the help and how can we help these businesses not only survive but thrive on the other side of the pandemic.
Well, as you know, the Republican leadership in the legislature would argue with that. They would say over the last 10 years, their tax cuts, their sound fiscal management through the budgeting process is really what's to credit for this. Mm-hmm. Do they get some of the credit? Do they get more credit?
I would give them some credit, no question about it. I mean, I think that the problem we have today is just too much partisanship. I mean, who's ever in office, they're sure going to get blame for anything that goes wrong. So obviously, they deserve some of the credit for things that go right. And, you know, the governor's been in office 3.5 years.
Do they get more credit or the governor?
No, I would not say that because, you know, during the pandemic, the legislature never came back in session. So it was really the administration that had to roll up our sleeves, figure out exactly what we could do. I mean, little things like the Department of Revenue, we changed our rules so that instead of people, when they go into a restaurant, they want to get maybe a six-pack of beer to take home with their burger, that they could get a curbside or go in the parking lot. We made, I would say, dozens of changes like that throughout Governor Evers' administration to make it easier for businesses, make it easier for individuals, to make sure that we got the money back to the businesses and the farms that really needed it, and that paid dividends.
So recently, as you know, Governor Evers announced that he'd like to direct about $600 million of that surplus to direct tax relief, including a 10% income tax. On August 23rd, I'll just read from his
yes.
statement, "Our state is in a strong fiscal position, and there is no reason these dollars should sit in state coffers when families need help now. We can help lower out-of-pocket costs for Wisconsinites today while providing long-term tax relief and still making sure we have readily available state resources to invest in our priorities in the next state budget." I know you've said publicly you support this plan. Why do you support his plan?
Well, the reason why I support, and the governor's tried two different special sessions on this. I mean, he recognizes that, you know, we have a supply chain issue that's worked into inflation, which, of course, is a federal issue. We can't control that. But what we can do is help people to contend with it. So the governor tried first to give like a tax credit back to people to give them $150 each or $600 for a family of four. Legislature didn't like that. So then he said, okay, how about a tax credit for the middle class and those that are struggling to get in the middle class? And that meant even more money. It would have been like $220 for an individual and $375 for a family of four, which is desperately needed for people that are sort of in that middle class and lower middle class arena. So that's the reason for it. It makes perfect sense. And you're only talking about utilizing 15% of this $5 billion surplus that we're projecting at the end of the fiscal year. And people need it. They should get the help now. I mean, clearly when Governor Walker was in office, the Republicans were all about, yes, let's send back a check to people. But, you know, they're worried about the next election. And I'll tell you, as a Democratic leader, I was not worried about the election. I was worried about how can we help people? How can we make sure that we're helping people to get the, you know, the resources they need? And unfortunately, in this case, I think my colleagues, who I have a lot of respect for, I think that they're not thinking clearly. People need this help now.
Well, based upon comments from GOP leadership, this plan, governor's plan, is not going anywhere. They're calling it an election year gimmick. So why should the governor reintroduce a plan that's doomed to fail?
Well, he didn't reintroduce a plan. He introduced a different plan, you know, because I've never heard of Republicans being opposed to any income tax cut. So I think he felt, as we discuss these issues, that, well, surely they'll support an income tax cut. Maybe they don't want to send back a check like they did with Governor Walker, but surely they'll support this. So to be frank, I was surprised. I thought they would, in fact, embrace this or embrace something like it. Not that they have to take what we say, you know, they could modify it somewhat and come up with a plan that maybe would work. But instead, they just rejected out of hand that, you know, saying that, you know, we're going to not worry about this till next year. Well, I'll tell you right now, as I travel the state, people need help now.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean, by all accounts, the economy is strong, record low unemployment, people are back to work. Why do people need that relief so urgently?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's who needs the help, right? If you're making, let's say, $500,000 a year, you know, you probably don't need any help unless you have medical problems or things of that sort. But for someone that's making $15 an hour, for instance, you know, it's hard to be able to make ends meet. Before, you know, the inflation kicked in, they were struggling to put food on the table, buy tennis shoes for their kids, and take care of all the needs of their family. Now inflation has eroded away, you know, 10% or more of their bill. So this is help that they desperately need. And that's why the governor targeted it to the middle class, which has been his goal all along. When he ran for election 4 years ago, he said his plan was to give a 10% credit to the middle class, and actually he shattered that. We've given 15% to the middle class. So this would be another additional amount, which they need. And if you don't mind, Lisa, one more thing I would talk about, though, is another strategic element of this, which is so important. I just met with the grocers before coming over here, and workforce is a key issue.
Yeah.
So he wants to give so that people can get 100% of the federal credit for child care. And I can tell you from my nieces and nephews and other people I talked to around the state, if you got an infant, child care is remarkably expensive. And our economists tell us that the people that could still enter the workforce many times are parents with young children. So if you change that economic equation and make it so that it's more affordable for them to go back to work, they will. And I don't know a small business in the state that wouldn't say, bravo, that's what we need, is to help these young parents to come back to work and make sure the kids are safely taken care of.
Well, for now, I think, according to what's going on in the legislature, that idea is paused. But do you think there could be bipartisan support for that in the future?
I think so. I really do believe that that's the case. I think that, you know, there's no question that there can't be a legislator anywhere in the state that isn't hearing from their business community that we need help with workforce. And clearly, if you listen to our economists, and they don't work for you know, they work for the entire state. So, I mean, whether it's a Democrat or Republican administration, they have the same, you know, assessment. And what they're telling us is this is the one thing we could do tax-wise that would move the envelope significantly. There's other things we can do, and we've got other ideas as well, but this is a big one because this goes at the people who are not in the workforce because they just can't afford to be because child care is so expensive.
In the last biennial budget, we were just kind of starting to come out of the pandemic, which clearly has had a huge impact on the economy. The governor signed a budget including $2 billion in individual tax relief at that time.
Right.
Let's hear what you had to say in response to that.
Sure.
We're delivering the largest tax cut in Wisconsin history, as the governor indicated, $2 billion. And we did not arrive here by accident. Make no mistake about it. It's a direct result of sound fiscal management, of careful decision-making at the beginning and throughout the pandemic. Wisconsin, I want to repeat, has been a leader in vaccine administration. Part of the reason I say that is if our economists from DOR were here, they would say people must be healthy for the economy to be healthy.
Has Wisconsin's economy completely recovered from the pandemic, would you say?
I wouldn't say completely, but I would say largely. Certainly, like the manufacturing part of the economy is more than recovered. In fact, we're number two in the country after only Indiana in terms of adding manufacturing jobs. The transportation sector has recovered. The building community and construction industry has recovered. Now, the service industry isn't quite there yet. They're getting there, fortunately. And, of course, the governor made sure that we had relief given to restaurants and hotel and lodging and small businesses of that sort. So, but they're not quite there yet, but we're almost there. And that's why any strategic investments we can make would make a difference.
Are we faring better than other states, would you say, as far as how we've come out of the pandemic?
I think so. I mean, clearly, most states are in a little better economic shape than they were at the beginning part of the pandemic because of the fact that there was a lot of federal money invested. But because we're number one in the country and reinvesting that money back directly in the elements that needed in our economy, we're doing, on average, I think, better than the most states.
You've said that Wisconsin is in the strongest fiscal position it's been in the last 50 years. And we've talked about the historic surplus. There's also this healthy rainy day fund. Last month, the Fiscal Bureau shared 2021-22 tax collections were significantly higher than estimates, 8.6% higher. Is Wisconsin collecting too much in taxes?
Well, that's why the governor wants to return some of it. Because obviously, you know, we know some people, you know, in the communities need help, and he wants to help them. So yes, we do think that we're collecting more than we need to, and that's why he wants to come into session and do it right now. And unfortunately, he's not getting much cooperation from
the legislature. Republicans say there's enough in that surplus that we could do generational tax reform, large tax reform, and use the surplus to kind of buy that down. Do you agree with that? Is now the time for generational tax reform?
Yes, I think that we could do generational tax reform. But I think that, you know, the good news is that the governor and the legislature, Republicans and Democrats alike, all agree we need to have tax relief for people. So that's a good thing. The difference would be that where the Republicans talk about a flat tax, which disproportionately helps those at the very top, the governor wants tax reform to disproportionately help the middle class. Now, he wants everybody to get tax relief, and everybody would, because our marginal tax rate, if you cut taxes for people, let's say for $150,000, somebody makes $200,000, that means the first $150,000 they're going to get a tax break on. So that would be the major difference. The governor said, let's focus on workforce. Let's make sure that we help, you know, people with child care costs. The governor, first governor in 20 years, you had governors trying to exempt military pay. Now, that doesn't sound like a workforce issue, but it is. To exempt active duty military pay, you know, it's the right thing to do for men and women that put their lives on the line for this country. But additionally, that means they're going to maintain their Wisconsin residency status. And then when their military service is due, the military groups and the veterans groups say they're more likely to move back to Wisconsin. So again, that was a strategic approach why the governor supported General Knapp's proposal to make sure that that came to fruition. So the governor wants to make sure that we're thinking strategically. Research and development credit, that's something the governor proposed in his first budget. He tried to double it, which the 10 of the 20 largest companies came to my office and told me this would be the single biggest thing we can do. And in the governor's second budget, the Republicans gave us a half a loaf. They did a 50% increase, which bravo to them. I'm glad we at least did that. Let's get the other half. So when we talk about generational tax breaks, I would say, yes, let's do it. But let's make sure it's strategic. What is the payoff that we're attempting to accomplish? Let's focus on making sure our economy is even stronger. Let's make sure more people can enter the workforce. Let's make sure that we're helping the struggling middle class. That's where the governor's focus would be, and that's what I agree with.
So what Wisconsin's tax business climate, what grade would you give it?
Oh, I would say an A. There's no question about it. Absolutely.
We're kind of ranked in the middle of the pack from different tax foundation sources.
Yes. Well, here's the story. So Wisconsin, in a 20-year period, moved up from being in the top five, where you don't want to be in terms of the highest taxes for state and local taxes, to now being in the middle of the pack. Now, some people might say, well, therefore, we're really not an A. We're a B or a C. But the issue is we're never going to be 49th because Wisconsin winters are tough on our infrastructure, so it costs more. Wisconsin believes in quality education, so we invest more in education than Alabama and Mississippi do. So obviously, and that's something is a value of people in Wisconsin, from the people that, you know, settled this state to people on through every generation. My parents, father was an immigrant. He, more than anything, he wanted education. So because of that, we're never going to be 45th, but we don't need to be 45th because we have so much more that we can offer businesses, such as a quality workforce, such as top grade technology, such as a university and K-12 system that, you know, is far above the national average. In fact, the governor got us back in the top 10 for public education. So those are strategic differences that I think mean just as much, if not more, frankly, when you sit down to businesses that are looking where they're going to locate.
Speaking of, you know, businesses, last December, a coalition of statewide and national groups, including Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state's largest business lobby, came out advocating for elimination of the personal income tax. Mm-hmm. We've just been talking about generational tax reform. That was an idea that they brought forward, saying that Wisconsin needs to be more competitive. We have mm-hmm. to have this reform to attract more workers, attract more mm-hmm. employers. What is your reaction to that idea about eliminating the personal income tax?
Well, it needs to be weighed against other types of tax proposals in terms of what good would that actually accomplish. Now, most retailers will tell you they're not for that because you'd have to raise the sales tax to over 11 cents on every product that people buy, which means that where I come from in the Kenosha area, more people are going to be driving across the border to Illinois, where right now they all come under Kenosha. Same thing in the western and eastern part of our border. So I think that you've got to think about it in terms of how does it make our state and our entire business sector more competitive. If you've got to raise the sales tax to 11 cents, I think that's going to cause a lot of competitive disadvantages for a number of different types of businesses.
Some of the proposals that are out there don't raise the sales tax, and there's the argument that eliminating the income tax would increase the tax income for families, that there'd be more consumer spending, and it mm-hmm. wouldn't affect the overall revenue collection mm-hmm. for Wisconsin.
Well, again, and this is where the governor, that's why the governor's made such an emphasis on lowering the income tax for people, the middle class and those in the lower middle class in particular, but everybody benefits through his proposal, you know, the proposals that he has put forward during the budget and during the marketplace bill that we passed. So the issue is that if, let's say, somebody who makes $1 million a year has less in income taxes, I mean, you can only buy so many boats and so many other things, but if you help the middle class disproportionately, especially those in the lower middle class, they, in fact, will fuel much more economic activity. So I think it's a matter of analyzing that benefit versus what I heard from the 10 largest companies in the state. Their priority was clearly to double the R&D credit. Clearly, when I talk to businesses, they say increase the child credit. So, I mean, there's different ways you can approach this. And the good news is, like I said, I think everybody wants to have tax reform and have a tax benefit. But it's a matter of who's going to benefit and what's the outcome at the other end of tax reform.
So do you think elimination of the personal income tax in Wisconsin is a bad idea, or you're not opposed to it? It's just
I'm not opposed to it necessarily, but I guess I haven't heard these proposals for any other means of being able to fund it other than increasing the sales tax, which 11 cents I think is a non-starter for the retail industry of the state.
Moving on to some other news, in August, the department announced that Wisconsin's real estate market grew by 14%, the largest growth since 1979. What do you expect that trend to continue?
Well, I do because, you know, first of all, consumers and workers in Wisconsin have more money in their pocket. So that's part of what's increased you know, the valuations. And because the economy is so strong, we also got back to a AAA bond rating, which we haven't had for, you know, decades here in Wisconsin. So, you know, the fiscal management of this state has been sound, and that's why we're in the best fiscal position we've been in 50 years. So I do think it's going to continue. Now, the Fed's
hike in interest rates?
I was just going to say, thank you, Lisa, but the Feds, of course, play a big role because if they continue to boost interest rates by another, you know, 2, 3, 4 points, well, that could suppress every state. But I do think Wisconsin will still tend to lead the nation, but it may not be at a 14% rate if the Feds go too far on us.
Sure. You know, another role, important role that the department has had over these last several years has been the distribution of some federal ARPA COVID recovery dollars intended to go toward municipalities. We're showing on the screen a graph from your department that talks about the summary of a survey. One of the 1,000 plus survey respondents, these are towns and municipalities that received the funds, again, just 30% stated that they've used or allocated their funds, so there's still more monies for them to spend. Communities also shared what they are using those federal recovery funds for. It appears a majority are spending on roads and streets, water, sanitary systems, and public safety. Funds were also spent or allocated for tourism, broadband, elections, various building upgrades, social services, and then, of course, COVID supplies. What is your takeaway when you look at how municipalities are spending these recovery dollars?
Well, I would say no surprise, right? Because for local governments, the things that really eat up their budget are things like protective services, roads, infrastructure, and of course, broadband has been such a priority of the governor's. I'm pleased to see that many municipalities and counties are focusing on that because clearly that's going to help our economy long term. The other thing I would say that we're very pleased about, our state and local finance division worked very hard with the Towns Association, the League of Municipalities, and many observers said you'll be lucky if 80% of the municipalities accept the money. Well, we've had over 99% that have accepted the money and I think put it to good use. So I just kudos to all our local officials and thanks to the you know Towns and Municipalities Association for working so closely to make sure that we brought that money back from Washington, because for years we've always heard we send a dollar and we only get 80 cents back. So it's nice that in this arena we're getting more than our fair share.
You know, those federal pandemic relief dollars are one-time dollars. And we continue to hear about more and more municipalities going to referendum to exceed their revenue limits imposed by the state. And there's also declining state aid. Is that something to worry about?
It is. It's a huge thing to worry about. And as you know, the governor's been talking endlessly about this because each of his two budgets, he proposed increases in things like shared revenue and transportation and community aids. But unfortunately, it's been 15 years since the legislature has approved any increase. So when people say we need to do more to support the cops or the firefighters, that's how you do it, is you provide them with the resources that they need so that they're not short-staffed when they're out in patrol and putting their lives on the line. So it's a big issue. The governor's really worked hard, and he's going to continue to really fight hard for that. The other thing he added in his budget was local option sales taxes to give municipalities, if the people supported in referendum, they'd have to vote for it. But if that's the way they want to support their revenue, he wants to give them that tools because municipalities have been struggling, and we know that they need extra help.
You know, speaking of needing extra help and local control, Milwaukee, there's been considerable debate about the type of revenue support or local control maybe that Milwaukee needs in order to deal with their budget woes. $300 million budget gap expected over the next 20 years without additional revenue. What changes would you recommend that need to happen for mm-hmm. that city in particular?
Well, I think, the governor's concept of giving people more tools in their toolbox to address it, such as the local option sales tax. I know that they had a referendum a number of years ago to increase their sales tax, and it was supported, but unfortunately, it was stopped at a state level. So if they have that option, that would be one. Another one would be to give them more share revenue support. A third one would be to try and help provide more support, you know, from the state level for things like public safety, which they desperately need help with.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we round out our conversation, you know, we want to ask you about your own job satisfaction. Typically, that job of tax collector, not a very popular one. How are you liking your position as secretary?
You know, it's been terrific. You know, we have such a wonderful team of people. We, in everything from the income sales and excise tax to state and local finance, and all the other divisions, the lottery, which we call our entertainment division, they all work so well together, and things have gone well, really, in Wisconsin, and we're just pleased with where we're at.
What's your projection for Wisconsin's economic future?
I think it looks very positive and growing. I think that we've made a number of changes that I think will bear fruit, and I'm hoping we continue to do that and that we get more bipartisanship. I mean, the governor has always said...
You think that's possible?
I do think so. The governor's always said, look, I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican idea. If it's a good idea, let's do it. And we've had some successes that people sometimes don't see. You know, like we work together on the marketplace bill, which is how you tax, you know, internet, which came about as a result of a court case, Wayfair. And, you know, the Republicans initially wanted to give across the board cut. So the governor said, let's give it to the first and second tier, which is the lower level, and they went along with that. That was a great victory. It was something that makes it more equitable for brick-and-mortar stores and Main Street and internet providers. And there have been a number of different changes of that sort that we have worked together. We just need to do more of it and on the bigger issues.
Do your projections for Wisconsin's future that you say are positive, does that change pending who wins the November election for governor?
Well, there's no question. I mean, obviously, you know, the voters have to make a decision of what direction they want to go in. And, you know, it's hard to project because Tim Michaels was sort of a latecomer to the race. I'm not to be candid with exactly what all of his proposals are, but I can only say the last 3.5 years under Governor Evers' stewardship, the state has fared extremely well. You know, best fiscal position in history, lowest unemployment rate, more child care providing slots than we've had before, helping active military, two-thirds funding of education, which we haven't had since Governor Tommy Thompson was governor. So there's been a lot of successes, and I hope they continue the pace.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing your perspective with us today.
Thank you, Lisa. Always good to be here, and appreciate the good work Wisconsin Eye does.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we sit down with the decision makers and highlight the issues that make a difference for all of us.
This program was brought to you from the Margaret Farrell Studio.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.